Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'm thrilled to have again as my guest co-host, Gabriella Von Rey. And for those of you that didn't hear the show a few weeks ago, when she was our guest and our topic was kindness. Well, Gabriella was adopted from a Pakistani orphanage at the age of 3 by a Dutch family. She was raised in Holland, and she learned about bullies and racism, unfortunately, the hard way. But she refused to remain a victim. Instead, she used understanding and empathy to defeat fear and mistrust. Now, Gabriella has been seen by millions on national TV, on Dr. Phil, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, just to name a few. And she speaks at school assemblies and major corporations across the U.S., spreading her messages, which are, let's pick up our standards, let's pick up our values. And her slogan is, we as a society have dropped the ball on human kindness. Will you help me pick it up? Gabriella, our own ambassador to kindness, I'm so happy you could join us for today's topic, which is transparency, seeing through our expanded human capacity.
I think it is awesome that we have Penny Pierce as a guest, because I was reading through some of the questions and her biography, and what hit home with me is the part where she says this cultural constraints that we have to be transparent. That really, really resonated with me, so I'm very excited.
Well, I think it's just a good fit to have you here. So, but before we bring her on, you know, Gabriel, I just want to tell you that I love the fact that you do so much to bring kindness into the lives of children. So can you share with our listeners what you and Highlights are doing to honor Random Acts of Kindness Week?
So Random Acts of Kindness Week starts next week on the 11th till the 17th, and of course throughout the entire year. But it's we're working together with two other companies, Highlights and Nationwide Children. Highlights wants kids to be kind to others, to change the world for the better. In honor of RAC Week, as we call it, they are sharing their recent State of the Kid survey, which contains heartwarming insight on how kids view kindness and empathy. And I read it. It's beautiful. And there are a lot of helpful tips for parents and takeaways. Go to www.highlights.com/stateofthekid.
I love that. And, you know, I think there's a normal connection with this, because to me, part of being kind is being transparent, being yourself, mm-hmm. and doing it in a very kind way.
Absolutely.
So so to share with our listeners a little bit about our guest, and this is the second time that Penny has been with us, but she is a respected clairvoyant, empath, visionary, author, and popular lecturer and trainer. She is one of the early pioneers in the intuition development movement, specializing in inner energy dynamics, expanded perception, transformation, and dream work. She has worked throughout the world since 1977, coaching business and government leaders, psychologists, scientists, celebrities, and those on a spiritual path about the hidden dynamics of what makes for true success. And she is the author of 10 books, including Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Addiction, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, The Intuitive Way, The Definitive Guide of increasing your awareness. And the topic of our show today, transparency, seeing through to our expanded human capacity. Penny, welcome to Answers for the Family, or welcome back, I should say.
Thanks, Alan. It's good to be back. Good to be back.
So now, your books all have, you know, have a common thread in the sense that we're really looking at ways to expanding our minds. I mean, we're expanding our perception, we're expanding our energy, and we're transforming ourselves. So share with us a little bit about, you know, what you envision transformation is.
You know, I think it's different than change. Change is, you know, the idea that you have a bunch of objects on a table and you rearrange them into different positions, but you still have the same setup. But transformation is actually, especially these days, a shift of perception that is going to change the way reality works and the way we function and the way we see ourselves in a radical kind of way. And, you know, maybe the whole idea is that if you think back, if we had the dot and they put a whole bunch of dots together, we get a line. You know, if you put a whole bunch of lines together, suddenly you have a plane. You put a bunch of planes together, you get a cube. And now what? You know, now we're moving on to the next thing, which is a really big shift out of a kind of linear perception where we have, like, cause and effect thinking, into something that's spherical and holographic. And that is a big thing to explain, but it's my Leap of Perception book talks a lot about that. But so transformation, I think we are, I guess a simple way to say it too would be that the soul or the spiritual aspect of ourselves is merging into the physical part of ourselves. In other words, we're seeing that we've always been the soul. We've always been in the body. There's always been spirit inside of matter, that there's light inside of things. So it's about being able to sense the inner world, you know, of energy and consciousness, and it's extremely real today. And then how does that affect the world of form? So that's a long-winded explanation, but...
So, hi, Penny, I'm Gabriela. So I want to ask
you
a question. First of all, I want to say that I love that you use shifting perceptions because, A, it's the name of my company, and, B, I really love that you use that word because it is a shift, right?
Oh, yeah, total shift.
And so what total. I'm asking about transformation when I listen to you is... you almost describe it as an internal growth that people, would you say that the transformation happens gradually and that people sometimes, I don't know, in time it's difficult to pinpoint that, but then suddenly go, yes, I've transformed. That they more know it after than maybe during? Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I think it does happen in stages, and I don't know that you're ever, like, totally done, you know? Like, how could you say I'm enlightened or something, you know? But I think that the world has been accelerating. I think everybody kind of senses that, and it's been happening for quite a while. Just every year it seems more and more intense, and everything seems to be happening faster and faster. And as that occurs, I think that we start to sense a difference in time, for instance.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't take very long anymore. You think something and it happens. You know, there's a shortening gap between what you imagine and what becomes real. And that is part of this change that's happening, where when I say linear, we have past, present, and future. And when you think about creating something new, you think, oh, it has to take a long time. We have to go through all these stages, you know, and there's empty space between the steps of the process. But in the new way, when you become transformed, everything happens in the present moment. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing but the present moment. So anything that used to be the future is now inside the present moment, but it's there as a different frequency of consciousness. So let's say we're at a low level of vibration and we may be quite fearful. As you start transforming, the first phases of this is to get rid of fear, to understand why you contracted in the first place and see the fact that it's kind of a partial perception or a misperception. and then you understand the whole thing, and you go, oh, it was just that. No, that wasn't anything, you know, and then the tension is released, and you open up, and you become more loving. And then you get another one coming to the surface, and you clear that next fear, and more and more and more and more, until you're really very loving. You know, that's the basis of who you are. And then you realize, wait a minute, I am the soul, and I always have been. The soul doesn't understand fear. It actually doesn't. It doesn't exist in the spiritual realm. And so as you start to become the soul, your reality changes drastically. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a gradual process, because this energy is coming in waves, mm-hmm. you know. And it intensifies us, and it pushes on us anywhere we have a contracted sense of self or energy or fear. It pushes right on that thing to try to loosen it up.
Would you say?
And that's why today we are swimming in fear, because so much is being released into the world right now that it looks very negative.
Absolutely. For our listeners, would you feel that when you're in a fearful state, transformation is not possible? Or is that the first phase into letting it go?
I think that when you notice that you're in fear, and fear can often feel like anger, or mm-hmm. it's some kind of contraction of energy, mm-hmm. where the real true, you know, the soul is joyful, the soul is creative, the soul is interested in everything. It never says should, you know. So if you contract, you're going away from something, or you're getting denser and more opaque. Right. The more you become the soul, the more transparent and trusting you become, the more authentic you become, and honest and, you know, visible, you know, exposed. You don't have to hide, you know. And so these are symptoms of transparency and transformation.
You know, Penny, one of the things that I have felt myself is that the more that I learn, the more that I take in, and the more that I feel like I am trying to be more transparent, or that I am transforming, the more I realize what I don't know. So is that part of the growth process, that the first thing that you're starting to learn is you're learning that you don't really know as much as you think you do?
Yes, I think that's true. But, you know, it's like you start to realize that there's a whole lot of you that you haven't encompassed yet. You know, it's like a huge body of knowledge out there that is, I guess we'd call that the collective unconscious. We haven't made it conscious yet and included it in our world. But that the ball that we live within, now the spherical perception is a ball around you, and it expands and contracts. So as you realize that you don't know something, the next thing that happens is the ball expands, and suddenly you get an insight, and you have a whole new understanding of something. And if you relax, that expansion keeps happening. That's evolution, you know. We're evolving. You know, in other words, some people say, we're going home. We're going back and remembering who we really are. And that's part of being transparent, too.
But in the expansion part, let's say, like you just said, you know, we feel like we're transforming and we're expanding. I find that a lot of people tell me that in the expansion moment, when they share it with other people, they're often ridiculed because others kind of really want the friend to stay the same. So how do we deal with that for the listeners?
I think that I have a whole chapter or two in this book called The Bridge Time.
Okay.
And it's a difficult thing to deal with right now, because some people are getting quite clear, and that means more loving, mm-hmm. more trusting, and other people are just starting to wake up, and other people don't even know it's possible to wake up, and other people are resisting waking up. You know, so a lot of everybody's many stages of this transformation process. But I think if you've started to wake up, what happens to you is that you really value kindness and love and honesty, not brutal honesty. You know, you don't beat people over the head with, you know, your honesty. But those kind of values, compassion, really starts to come to the fore. And, you know, so when a friend of yours doesn't understand, you can maybe explain it a little better, mm-hmm. you know, or I think at certain points there are what I call frequency sorting experiences, okay. where people are at different levels, you know, different wavelengths, if you will, or different. Some people aren't ready, don't want to understand it yet, and at that point, often friends separate. You go mm-hmm. to the level that you are at, and other people show up at that level, and you have new friends.
True, absolutely.
You know, it's just a natural sorting process.
Mm-hmm. And what?
But I think you do have to hold your own. I think you cannot go down and match a frequency that's lower than your own, or you will suffer.
True. And how do you... I forgot my question, though. Oh, yeah. What did you call it again, Penny? You called that
frequency
something.
Sorting.
Frequency
what part?
Sorting, love it. Frequency sorting, I love that, Alan.
Yeah, I love it too. I can, you know, I can see it now on the new dating sites. You know, frequency. We're going to have some frequency sorting. Everybody in this frequency go here, and everybody in that frequency go there.
But then we create, right. then we create boxes
yeah, and it's,
again.
But, yes. you know, you don't have to, it's not a mental thing, right? You don't really try to make it happen. It just sort of happens on its own. Yeah, I watch it with myself. Or, you know, people sometimes they get fired from a job. And they say, but I was there for 20 years and I did such a good job. Well, guess what? You don't fit there anymore, you know, and you are too loyal to leave, so... You know, the life gets you out of there. It's like popcorn popping out of a pan. You know, you can't stay in a vibration that's too low for you.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think what you're saying in that example is that it may not be that their frequency changed. It may be that the frequency of that particular business or the direction that it was going changed. And upper management chose to go in a different direction or whatever. And you didn't go with it. So...
right.
I can see lots of ways in which somebody wouldn't fit.
You know, even, you know, you're dealing a lot with kids, I think, too, and this applies mm-hmm. a lot to kids as well. If they can understand simply that a lot of this is just that people are at different levels of energy, of consciousness, and that it's not about them being good or bad or, you know, taking everything so personally, that it's more like physics in a way. You know, mm-hmm. It's helpful because it helps things become a little bit more neutral.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, but you know? Notice that too when you walk into a room. You're and I'm not talking about physical attraction, but I'm talking about you know you just have a few people that you have no idea where they were picked out of the room, and those are the people you talk with and laugh with, and mm-hmm.
right.
because the
I always call that a feeling of deep comfort. Somehow you just feel. At ease and comfortable or interested or things start to flow easily because energy moves
absolutely
nicely.
Exactly, and you sort of gravitate to them.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
Exactly, that's the frequency matching.
Aha.
You know, where you
right.
start to find the people of your own, on your own wavelength, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you tell me what is, I see this and I'm just so curious, what's the difference between invisibility and transparency?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, back in the olden days, I don't think people quite understood what the idea of transparency is. And it doesn't mean that it's see-through, like, you know, like a pane of glass. But people thought to become more like the gods who could disappear, you know, they could appear and disappear, and that you would be like the invisible man, and then you could have all kinds of superpowers. But invisibility really is not a function of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, the transparency, when the soul becomes the cause of the personal life, when you are the soul and you are creating your life from your core purpose and values, it's such a magical thing. I mean, that is the superpower, really. So, yeah, invisibility is more of a physical characteristic, where transparency is more of an energetic kind of thing.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand it completely. Thank you.
Yeah. Now you talk about in the book about the evolution of understanding and the experience of transparency over the millennia. Can you describe this and what are some examples that you can give our listeners?
Well, it's like I just said, I think, you know, there have been different things. There have been, you know, we went from, you know, into magic and sorcery and all those things where I'll make, you know, get the invisible cape like Harry Potter had, you know, and all those kinds of things. And then we had, you know, cloaking of you know, like the airplanes and so forth, and trying to be invisible by camouflaging. But that's all just still not quite what we're really talking about here. Real true transparency now. I think we're noticing it first in politics. I mean, I hear that word now every day on TV in regard to politics, the lack of transparency in government, or that, well, we're trying to be transparent. Well, what that means about information.
Right.
The first level that we're aware of when it comes to transparency is the transparency in the physical world relating to the information age, which is access to information. And I think as, you know, the energy in the world gets faster and higher frequency, we have very little tolerance for lies. Like, we can see through it pretty mm-hmm. much when people are lying now, when we're suspecting, hey, that's not the full story. And I don't think we have a lot of patience for it anymore. We want the real thing. People want their leaders to be accessible. They don't want them to be above, you know, at the top of the hierarchy. They want them to be one of us. Things are shifting that way.
But transparency is much more than information. So would you say that we almost, especially in government, we're saying it because we feel that they're hiding things. But on a personal level, would you say transparency equals authenticity?
Totally.
Okay.
I think what I'm saying is I call this horizontal transparency. It's the first stage of really starting to get at what transparency is in a fuller sense. That if we can have transparency around information, now we're going, I'm calling it, into the intuition age, mm-hmm. out of the information age. And this is where we shift from the left brain to the right brain, where we move into the consciousness of the heart, or even of the energy field, the unified field. It's not linear anymore. You know, the left brain is very linear. So as we're shifting, you know, And then we realize that we are the soul, and I keep repeating that, but when that happens, we don't try to hide anymore. Mm-hmm. And my guidance has told me, just let yourself be exposed. Let people see you. If they can see you, they will. You don't have to broadcast yourself and market yourself. People will find you. And so this exposure thing is quite frightening to a lot of people. And authenticity can be frightening, but we want it. You know, we want people to be real with us. That's it. And that means what? It means they're showing us who they really are. Just like we want the truth in information, we want the true experience of the other person that we suspect is in there. You know, we don't want a mask.
Right.
And, you know, and phone.
And, you know, Penny, when and I think authenticity, you know, fits, is it a situation to where we're also looking at transparency as being vulnerability, but then is being vulnerable, is that something that, because many of us fear it, which is why it's more difficult to get to that point?
Right, because why would we fear vulnerability unless we need to hide? Or we think we're going to be rejected if we show our full self.
Right.
And that's partly because people haven't really gotten quiet and experienced that sense of self, that sense of the beauty and the amazing quality of the soul. You know, as soon as you really feel yourself, you know, you do kind of fall in love with yourself, but a positive narcissism, you know, where you go, oh, wow, I just love myself, you know. And then you look at other people, and then I love them too, because look, they're beautiful too.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of do get into that. And at that point, then, what's there to hide? You know, yes, I make lots of mistakes and you know, I've had spinach in my teeth at parties and whatever, you know, like everybody has that kind of stuff. So let's admit that we're human and just let ourselves be all of ourselves.
But
and whether they're going the ugly side or our talents, some real talented they are.
That's really true. I have a question about this, what we just talked about, especially in the word conformity. I always talk that there's safety in conforming. So when you are in a group, and I'm not talking about people that are obviously not on the vibration yet of this transformation, they are not even aware of the possibilities because they are stuck in the safety of the conformity and have lost, so to speak, the line with their own self. Would you agree
yes.
with that? I'm
glad you
them?
Brought that up. I think that's a really interesting point. And I think that conformity, okay, let me see how to say this.
Yeah.
When we're looking at certain things from the old point of view of the old perception, you know, pre-transformation, then finding your people on your wavelength looks like conformity. It looks like you have to be the same, you have to, you know, share the same values in terms of, or belief systems, and then you're safe. As you transform and actually become the soul, then you can have all kinds of different interests, but your frequency is similar. Mm-hmm. And then you feel the other people and you go, oh, they get me, you know, and I understand them, but they can have all kinds of different talents. It's almost like there's a convening of people who just show up and they all have different puzzle pieces that fit together into some kind of project or work often. And this is starting to happen now because the frequency of, let's call it, of transparency, the frequency of the soul is coming through, and you have these natural gatherings of people who totally connect with each other, and it's not conformity at all, but it has that same feeling of safety, but in a natural way where it's fluid and there are no rules. It's from the inside out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about those younger, I'm especially passionate about children, when they feel that they have to conform, and they, by the time they're an adult of 21, they can't remember who they were because it was the only way to get along. And so those people want that transformation that you talk about. They want the vertical and horizontal transparency, but they don't always know how to start. So maybe my question is, how can Alan and I help this question? How can we tell these young adults where to start in the transforming process?
I think luckily a lot of the young people come from, I would call it, soul groups that are very loving, very advanced in many ways, and they already kind of innately understand a lot of this stuff about transformation. And I think they are quite rebellious about having to do things just one way. Most of the young people I meet are very much and somewhat rebellious as well. And so I think that all we can do is have our education system kind of get modernized, you know, and have parents, like, get into the idea that let's foster the uniqueness of our children. Let them show us. Let them, you know, the interests that they have come naturally. Let's foster that and see where it grows, that they'll, you know, need some guidance, but they really contain a lot of their own life purpose right away when they come in, you know. And so, well, you know, the pressure to conform for kids, I think, is largely the fault of the schools. And, you know, because I know a lot of kids who are so uniquely individualistic, and they like their other friends are like that, too. They're all really creative, you know, and very open-minded.
Right, and I think it is being done in other countries. There are other countries that are really doing a much better job than we are about taking our own natural talents and running with that and letting them grow out of that instead of trying to put them into a particular box to where, you know, I think too often we're trying to promote mediocrity by putting everybody in this, in, you know, and
yeah,
and I think it's really sad. But so I agree with you in the sense that that needs to start on an education level, but starting first with the parents not accepting what it is that's out there, so that we can then have the things that we need in the schools. But what I'd like to know is that we now have this, if I understand you correctly, you start where you believe that your frequency is being connected in way, but yet we're new at it. So that makes us vulnerable to commercialism or vulnerable to being in a particular clique. And how does somebody then grow out of that? I mean, when we're seeing it now, obviously, on the political thing of, you know, people, they think that, okay, well, you know, I'm more enlightened now because I can bitch and complain about something that I've been told now 17 times in the news, but you really aren't thinking. You're just taking in information and you're adapting more of a mob mentality. And we all know that a mob mentality usually doesn't take us anywhere good. So,
right.
You know, so how can we can look at it? And I've told people too that, you know, when they're talking about the doom and gloom and everything else, and I say, well, think of it as a pendulum, and things have gone in a particular direction, but it's also bringing out this group of people, and especially young people, that are saying, I'm not going to be sucked into this. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to be more mindful. I'm going to be more transparent about the way in which I do things. So I can see very positive things, but how do we get through that? Because there's some bumps on the road that I think we can all see. How can we soften those as much as possible?
Well, I think there are two ways come to mind, first of all, as kind of techniques. One is, like you said, being mindful, which means that you need some quiet time. And you can't be in your phone and on screen addiction and getting information from the outside coming into you all the time. You have to be quiet enough that your own imagination and your own soul vibration can bring you your own intuition. So we need to cultivate periods of silence or restfulness or meditation or nature or something like that where kids can, and maybe they write in a journal, you know, or something like that, where they know, well, what happened to me today? What did I notice? Why did I notice what I noticed? You know, and sort of take a look at, like, what is my inner self trying to tell me right now by making me notice this particular thing? Because I think that we do have a sequence of noticings, you know, if you will, that if you work with that, you'll see that there's some sanity involved, you know, that you're working with certain themes during the day. And so learn to do that. And then the second thing is watching polarities. You know, so we have, you know, the great example in politics with the bipartisan stuff. It's so polarized now, they can't even talk to each other, or everybody's saying the other's point of view is fake news, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you're noticing you're caught in a polarity, and that's a skill in itself, right, especially for kids, is saying, oh, I'm right or I'm wrong, I'm cool or I'm a jerk or, a, you know, whatever. And as soon as you notice a polarity, realize that you don't have to take sides. It's not either or.
Right.
There's something beyond it. Like, what's my own original thing that isn't either of those things? And not to participate in polarities, mm-hmm. basically, but to eclipse them, go beyond it, see what else there is that unifies those things. You know, and that's a skill. It's a perceptual skill, you know.
No, I couldn't.
So I think those
more.
Things would help.
Definitely. Well, for everybody out there, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Penny Pierce. The subject matter is transparency, seeing through to our expanded human capacity. So we're going to take a break. Stay with us. We will just be about a minute, and you'll be right back listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis. Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
All right, and we are back, and I'm not sure what that signal was, but that was the signal that we are back, and and you are listening to the Answers for the Family show on LA Talk Radio. Our guest is Penny Pierce, and we're talking about transparency. And for anybody, if you're sitting at your computer and you want to follow along with us and learn more about Penny while we're talking, you can go to her website, which is www.pennypierce.com, and I'm going to spell it because it's a little different. It's PennyPierce.com. Now, if you're driving out there, don't try this. Just go to our website, our Answers for the Family website, and all this information will be there. So, Gabriella, while we were in break, you had a thought in regards to our conversation with Penny.
Yeah, well, I want to learn more, Penny. And one of the questions that I'm very, very interested in your answer is the opaque reality. And what do you mean by that? And especially, how do we learn to recognize it in ourselves?
Well, you know, if you think about the idea of a transparent reality, and then you go back to what we have right now, it's pretty opaque. It's hard to see through things.
Okay.
You know, you can't see, people stop at the surface when they look at other people. They just take them the book, you know. They don't read the book that's underneath the cover if they don't like the cover, you know. And so people are not in the habit of seeing through. Mm-hmm. And so I think what happens then is that we get this sense that everything's very dense, that it's hard to know things, that answers are difficult, that manifesting things is difficult. But when you start to become more transparent, all of that just goes away. The opaque, it's like a glass of tap water clearing. Things open up, and suddenly you can materialize any imagination you have. You can think up anything you'd like to do and put your attention on it, and it will start to come into form very easily. And, you know, it's, you can look at a person and you can see what their mask is or what their outer layer is, but you can see through that because you don't, it doesn't stop you. You go into the heart of who the person is, and you see them as the soul. And then you love them, you know, and you can see what they're capable of. So you start to have this really increased sense of knowledge, very high levels of intuition, you know, and things become smooth, frictionless. Things start to happen much more easily. There aren't so many snags. And, you know, it just gets easy.
Now, in the book, while you talk about this, you also talk a little bit about the left brain versus the right brain. How does mm-hmm. that affect in this area?
Well, you know, the left brain really is that part of us that compartmentalizes and describes and defines and analyzes things. But it's valuable because it makes things conscious. But we have started identifying ourselves as the left brain and that kind of logical thought and linear processing. The right brain, on the other hand, is where the intuition lies. It's where you have direct, kind of direct knowing, I would call it, of patterns of knowledge, for instance. Or you get immersed in daily reality as though you were an animal, you know, and everything's part of you. You have an extended body that goes way out and includes the trees and the grass and the birds and everything. And you don't differentiate because you can't, because it's all one. So in the right brain, you have knowledge of almost like everything at once. You have access to anything. And, it, you know, it's immense. It's the unified field that science talks about. But the left brain is what makes, it's kind of like it interrupts the right brain so that we can have focus, that we can bring things out of that unified field into this world of three dimensions and make it happen. So, but the problem is now that we're so identified with only the left brain that that's colored the way we see reality, you know. And now as we're moving to the end of the information age, where we can't even process the amount of data we have anymore, you know, it's like mm-hmm. you can't do it in a linear fashion, it's too much. We're being forced to leap into more of the right brain and the heart and the field of energy and consciousness that's inside us and around us. And that becomes the new big brain.
Is there...
And then this is like expanding our consciousness tremendously.
Is there a technique to tap in to the right brain that you could suggest?
Yeah, very simple one is be quiet.
I love it. I love it. No, it's
you know, but because the left brain is all about language. And if you're, you know, talking to yourself in your head and having little dialogues with people in your head, you know, or... like we're doing now, we're talking, you know, we're largely in our left brain. But we do rock back and forth. If you notice your attention during the day, you'll be in the left brain and focusing on things, and then you'll space out, you know. And when you space out, it's kind of like you're accessing the right brain and your imagination and, like, higher kinds of answers. And then you come back, you know, into the world again. And we're, so we kind of have this round trip of rocking in and out. But you can do it more consciously is the whole point, is that you can shift into intuition whenever you want. And you can, you know, kind of oscillate between your intuitive direct knowing and then the analytical, defined language part of ourselves.
So,
but don't get stuck there.
Exactly.
Go back next time and get some more information from the imaginal realm.
So how is it possible that when we tap into the intuition in the right side of the brain, how is it possible that we go back to the left side and say, yeah, that, and then you doubt it, whereas you should never doubt it, right?
Yeah,
what is that? I do it just like anyone else, but I know.
Yes.
I mean, my left brain actually says, stop it. Don't doubt it.
Yes.
So
right.
What is
well,
that?
Well, I think... And it's so, it is funny, I mean, and terribly sad at the same time, but I think that the left brain has kind of evolved a function for itself of defining, you know, I'm a woman, I'm this, I grew up in this kind of family, and this is what I am, and it has all these definitions that build and build and build, and then pretty soon, if you start to expand that, the left brain gets frightened. It goes into contraction and fear and says, no, 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 that would be insecure, that would not be safe, no, we can't allow any change here. And then it will try to, it'll do that, it'll doubt the it'll make you doubt the results, it will cause you to leave your body and, you know, not to think about it or distract yourself in any myriad number of ways so that you won't change.
Well,
you know, and that's that ego mind trying to maintain itself.
Okay.
And what's really happening is that, you know, the left brain has evolved to a point of domination where we identify with it, and that is ego in my definition of it. But now that we're starting to add in the right brain, which is the kind of doorway to the soul, and open the intuition, then that means that really it's the soul and right brain that's the leader and the boss, the master, if you will. And the left brain is the implementer. It's not the boss. It doesn't really have an access to direct, you know, intuitive genius. it only has access to what we did in the past. So it reacts. You know, so we're kind of in this process of ego death, you know, where the left brain is learning. It's not going to be, you know, you can't get rid of it all the way because it's still quite useful. We need it. But it's not the boss. And that is what people are struggling with a lot right now.
Well, and what,
we
and what we're talking about now is something that I've been studying. So I wanted to share with some of the listeners. First of all, there are some studies now that have been done that in regards to daydreaming. And they've said that actually there are statistics that show that if you're in a class and you're in a class for, say, 45 minutes and you're studying everything, if you take about a 15-minute break and just daydream, or you doodle, or you do something else, and then go back into the next level of that studying, that you actually do better. You recall better. Everything is better. So for these, and I know we have a lot of teachers that listen, you know, that child that is doodling or that child that appears to be daydreaming for a little bit is actually doing themselves a service. They're actually helping themselves to retain the information that they're listening to. So
that makes perfect sense. Yeah. You know, it is that what I'm saying about this kind of, you know, round trip. You know, you have to, like, let go of all this physical definition and analytical and stuff and organizing, and then go into that openness of the right brain where it's really restful there. You know, it's where you reconnect with your true self and you get rejuvenated. You know, some people call that liminal space, where at the end of a cycle of creativity, you have an actual experience there. It's not the void that's out there. Mm-hmm. It's this wonderful kind of spacious, creative place where things are gestating. It's like, you know, the caterpillar melts down inside the pupa before it turns into the butterfly, and the particles simply rearrange themselves. You know, and so we're kind of doing the same thing in a way. We need to let ourselves rest from all of that constant definition and agreement that we have culturally about how life works and who we think we are and what we can't be and what we can be, and let it all go so that we can have some openness to let some new things come through. You know, it's the exact same thing you're talking about.
Well, Penny, unfortunately, this has been going so great, but we are just about out of time. But I want to get a quick question in. We do a lot of work with children with autism. How does this... how do you see this in dealing with someone who has autism, in which sometimes the right and the left side of the brain functions differently?
I kind of have had the sense that the autistic people are ones that have incredibly high levels of empathy and compassion, and they really can't handle the bridge time experience that we're going through on the planet right now, where everything is so negative and so swirling. So they've kind of like put up a plexiglass shell around themselves temporarily until we evolve to their level, and then they'll be, you know, active and the leaders, I think. But I think that working with real true empathy and telepathy and some of the higher kinds of my book is called Seeing Through to Expanded Human Capacities. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Let's work with the subtle things we have, like telepathy and clairvoyance and all of these things that come when you become more transparent.
So Penny, unfortunately, I said we are running out of time, but what is the best way in which people can get a hold of you if they're interested in this subject, if they want to see the other books that you have available?
All the books are on my website in defined and excerpts and stuff like that. And I do private sessions, and so everything's through my website. There's a contact sheet there. People can just write to me.
All right. That's great. Penny, thank you so much. You know, I'm just so glad that you could take the time to come on. And, you know, you are really helping to, I think, raise the vibration for all of us out there. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right. And Gabriella, tell us a little bit about how people can get a hold of you if they want to talk about kindness, if they want to talk about the upcoming week of kindness.
Okay. Well, first of all, Penny, was an awesome interview. I have 30 more questions, but I'll keep them for the next interview, okay?
I'm happy to come back anytime.
So for me, kindness only grows more kindness, and I make that part of my daily life. So for the listeners, it's a choice. Just like you put your clothes on every day, put kindness on. It's a choice. It's actually much easier. It's not complicated. And to reach me for any questions on kindness, tolerance, diversity, just go to gabriella.global, because my last name is unpronounceable.
All right. Well, Gabriella, thank you so much for being with us again. And for everybody out there, please be sure to tune in next Monday when our guest will be Charles Garfield, author of Giving and Receiving Peace When a Loving One is Dying. So it will be a very heartfelt thing, but it is something that all of us will go through at some point in time in our life. So with that, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.